Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show with pastor and author Joe Schimmel, bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you will not hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of the show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he commanded in Ephesians 5:11. God states in his word that he would rise up ministries in the last days to do mighty exploits that would turn many to righteousness. Now here with vital insights from God's word is pastor and author Joe Schimmel.
Good afternoon, folks. Welcome to the fastest half hour radio at the Good Fight Radio Show. Hope you're having a great afternoon. I want to talk about Paul Walker, who just died recently. Famous actor, known for his Fast and Furious movies, and the brevity of life. I want to talk about Paul Walker and the brevity of life. It's important that we realize how fast life goes. We talked about his death because it was a big deal to a lot of people, and a lot of people don't recognize or weren't aware that he had made a declaration not only that he was a Christian. God knows, I don't know where he was at when he died or what the status of his faith was, but he also said that he didn't understand atheists and how you could be an atheist in light of all the beauty in God's creation. And he said he had snowboarded a lot and surfed and was around nature a lot. He said, what I don't understand is atheists, because the God's design and beauty and power in creation was so obvious to him. And it's interesting because I thought about that in terms of not only origins, but also another statement he made in terms of not only origins, but in terms of the future. In fact, many are unaware that while Paul Walker died relatively young, that he died with the last words that were recorded on his lips publicly, that he would be back in just 5 minutes. In fact, Jim Thorpe at the charity event, holding the charity event that Paul Walker had thrown for just before his tragic death, he said that Paul Walker's Porsche engine, he had heard it revving, and he heard the explosion and it burst into flames just after Paul Walker had left. And he said this, that quote, Paul Walker jumped in the passenger side of the seat and looked at all us guys and said, hey, I'll be back in 5 minutes, end quote. Tragically, he goes on to say, that is his friend, that never happened. When Paul Walker confidently exclaimed, I'll be back in 5 minutes, he was oblivious to the fact that he would not even live for another hour. In fact, most people are oblivious to their time of their death. In fact, over 50 million people die each year, folks. That's a staggering number. When Paul Walker made that statement, he wasn't aware that 150,000 plus people die a day. Many people don't see tomorrow and they just take time for granted. That's all of us to one degree or another. We just think that we're going to have the next few minutes on our hands typically. But Paul Walker, he was still, he was healthy. He was relatively young still. He had great looks and a ton of money, but none of that could buy him another day on earth. And the irony is that he was, you know, he was portrayed in his movies as being invincible, you know, surviving car chases and car crashes and races and what have you. But the reality is that none of us are invincible, and that Hollywood is not a mirror of reality. It's typically an illusion, and typically fosters an illusion to those who would be better off knowing about reality. In fact, many of the scriptures, God's word really jolts us into reality. He wants us to be aware of the fact that our lives are short. You know, popular city billboards and what have you, they always make it look like you should live it up and you're going to live forever. And, you know, there's an endless summer and you can just continue to have, you know, enjoy life for eternity here on earth. And that's not reality at all. Like I said, reality is over 150,000 people dying a day, over 50 million people dying a year. And God makes that reality clear to us. In fact, in the book of Job, we see this over and over again. Job was really, you know, face-to-face with reality when he lost his children immediately. I mean, didn't seem like they were going anywhere. And boom, before you knew it, man, they were all dead. And he himself was concerned about his own life and how long it would be because he was facing an incredible trial. And many of these scriptures that God uses to warn us about the brevity of life, how fast it goes, and how we should take our lives into account and be serious about time and eternity are found in the book of Job. In fact, in Job chapter 7, verses 6 and 7, we read this, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle, and remember that my life is but a breath. You see, in fact, we have many metaphors and word pictures used in the book of Job to just emphasize this point. Job chapter 7, verse 9 says, quote, when a cloud vanishes, it is gone. So he who goes down to hell does not come up. In Job chapter 7, verse 16, we read this, I waste away, I will not live forever. Leave me alone, for my days are but a breath. Job chapter 8, verse 9 says this, for we are only of yesterday and know nothing, because our days on earth are as a shadow. See, folks, you'll look outside, you'll see a shadow, and a moment later you'll look and that shadow's shifted. A little bit more time goes and that shadow's absolutely gone. And that's the way our lives are. In fact, we get many of the same warnings later in the book of Job. Job chapter 14, verses 1 and 2 says this, man who is born of woman is short-lived and full of turmoil. Like a flower, he comes forth and withers. He also flees like a shadow and does not remain. You know, I live in Southern California, and when you get the winter showers for a fleeting bit of time, you'll see some flowers pop up. I'll go on hikes, and there'll be all these incredible wildflowers. But I take note, and I appreciate them, because I know the next time I go hiking, they may not be there because they're gone pretty quick. Same with our lives. They're here today, gone tomorrow. And God uses the same kind of language and gives the same type of emphasis in the book of Psalms about the brevity of life. We read in Psalm 39:11. With reproofs you chasten a man for iniquity. You consume as a moth what is precious to him. Surely every man is a mere breath. Whew. Folks, you breathe in and out. That's what your life is like. Compared to eternity, if you were to draw a timeline of eternity, which really you can't because the definition of eternity is timelessness, but there's really no beginning or no ending. From everlasting to everlasting, God is God. But if you were to put your lifespan in the midst of eternity, it'd be less than a blip. You couldn't put your fingers close enough to measure the distance or the lack of distance that we live our lives compared to eternity. That's why it's so important that we get perspective of the fact that we're going to step into eternity any moment, and we need to make sure that we're right with God. In fact, the psalmist says in Psalm 89:47, quote, remember what span of life is. Remember what my span of life is. In fact, in Psalm 90, verses 5 through 7, we read this. You have swept them away like a flood. They fall asleep. In the morning, they are like grass, which sprouts anew. In the morning, it flourishes and sprouts anew. Toward evening, it fades and withers away. For we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath, we have been dismayed. Psalm chapter 90, verse 10 says this, the length of our days is 70 years or 80, if we have the strength. In other words, a lot of people don't even get up to 70 or 80, yet the span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away, end quote. So our lives quickly pass, they fly away, they're filled with trouble because this world that we live in is in rebellion to God. It's sin sick, folks, from head to toe. We have prisons that are overflowing. We lock our doors. We arm ourselves to a degree because we recognize that we live in a wicked world. And thankfully, the Bible says that the world is passing away and the lust thereof. But it's he that does the will of God, the Bible says, that endures forever. The scriptures go on to tell us in Psalm 144:4, quote, man is like a mere breath. His days are like a passing shadow. It's interesting. 1 Chronicles 29:15 says this, we are aliens and strangers in your sight. As were all our forefathers, our days on earth are like a shadow without hope. Folks, that's how it is for the hopeless, the godless. They have no hope. In fact, God in the New Testament, just like the Old Testament, reminds us over and over again about how quickly our lives pass. In fact, James 1:10 says, and the rich man is to glory in his humiliation, because like flowering grass, he will pass away. 1 Peter chapter 1 and 2 also describes man as like a flower or grass that appears for a short while and then is gone. In fact, God tells us, in light of the fact that we don't even know if we have tomorrow, that our lives are like vapors, that we ought to make sure that we don't just plan ahead and say, hey, I'm going to go do this, and I'm going to go do that, or I'm going to start a business over here, because we don't know what God's will is. We need to seek his face, say, God, what is your will? James chapter 4, verses 13 and 14 says this, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. Folks, is that what you're saying? Are you just planning your life? And just, you know, as an atheist or as a practical atheist, maybe you're obviously wise enough that, yeah, there's obviously God who created everything, but you're a practical atheist in this way. You live as an atheist. You don't seek God. You don't cry out to him. You don't say, God, what is your will for my life? And you can look at your life and say, You can see, are you in his will? What's his will? Well, his will, it says, is your sanctification. That means that you're being separate from that which is evil, consecrated to God. The Bible says it's the will of God that you're thankful. That means you're not a whiner and a moaner all day long, that you're thankful to God for all the wonderful things he's done in your life. What's the will of God? That you, Jesus says, the will of God that you know him, that you know the Father and you know the Son. Do you know Jesus? It's God's will that you're in his word, that you're seeking his face and you're opening the Bible. It's God's will that you're in fellowship with other Christians. The Bible says not to forsake the fellowshipping of ourselves together and to get together all the more as we see the day of Christ approaching. So if you're like doing your own thing and just living for yourself, well, then you're not in the will of God. But James says you ought to be saying, in light of the fact that our lives are like vapors, that they'll vanish and be gone and we'll face God, that you ought to be making sure that you're seeking his face and living for him. In fact, Jesus gave some severe warnings about not living for material things, not being a covetous or a greedy person. And he gave an illustration of a man who was greedy, who was materialistic, and did not plan for eternity, did not look for God. In fact, he said this. Jesus said, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist, says Jesus in the Gospel of Luke chapter 12. It does not consist in an abundance of possessions. Jesus went on to say in Luke chapter 12, verse 16, and he told them a parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I'll store up my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you prepared for yourself? Jesus went on to say, this is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God. End quote. Folks, this man who was saying, eat, drink, and be merry, is a lot like people today. Today, people say sex, drugs, and rock and roll. You know, they just live for themselves, you know. The height of hedonism, people are all about self. In fact, the Bible says that in the last days, men would be lovers of self, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, on and on. And tragically, that's exactly what's happening today. People are lovers of self. In fact, I just read recently that Oxford Dictionary, the word that they've said is the word of the year, is the word selfie. You know, because it describes people taking pictures of themselves. And it's interesting, folks, we're all about self today. I'm not saying you can't take a picture of yourself, but you have to really look in the mirror and say, hey, am I living for myself or am I living for Jesus? Because it ultimately comes down. Jesus said there'll be people that are living for themselves, and all of a sudden, boom, the time's going to come where God's going to say, you fool, you're dead now. Now what do you have? You know what? If you have Jesus, folks, you have everything. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have anything, folks. And I encourage you to make sure that you know the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, folks, I know we're covering a lot of ground. This is, after all, the fastest half hour on radio. We'll see in about 30 seconds to wrap this up and talk about Paul Walker, yourself, the scripture, and eternity.
You're listening to the Good Fight Radio Show with pastor and author Joe Schimmel, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how they relate to family, culture, and the church. If you'd like to learn more about our life-changing resources, such as They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll and The Submerging Church, check out our website at goodfightradio.org.
Welcome back, folks. We've been talking about Paul Walker and the brevity of life. We've been talking about God and eternity. You know what? At the beginning of the show, I talked about how Paul Walker, how witnesses just before he died in his charity said that he'd be back in 5 minutes. He hopped in his vehicle, his Porsche, and he said, I'll be back in 5 minutes, folks, and it never happened. He never returned. Paul Walker had no idea that he wouldn't even be living much longer. He wouldn't even live but a few minutes longer. Now, what's crazy about this, folks, is we've been looking at a lot of verses in the Bible where God warns us that our lives are very short. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, our lives are like smoke, just like a puff of smoke, here and then gone. The scriptures tell us in the New Testament, their lives are like a vapor, and I gave many other metaphors that the scriptures use. In fact, we need to be wise. A wise person recognizes he has but a little bit of time. You know, it's crazy when you think about how many people don't prepare for even next week, next month, next year, their retirement. A person who can care less and all of a sudden they find themselves with nothing and too old to work is in big trouble. But what about the person who does not prepare for eternity? What about the person who is oblivious to the fact that he's going to step into eternity, which happens with, as I mentioned at the top of the hour, over 50 million people die every day. Over 150,000 people die today. That could be you. Are you ready to meet your God? In fact, God's word tells us that it's more profitable to go to a funeral than it is a party. It's better for you. The Bible says it's better for you to actually go to funerals than parties. Now, it doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. Like, wait, parties, they're a lot of fun. Funerals, they're really sad. Why would that be better? Because it's there where you get perspective. Because there's nothing more important than where you'll spend your eternity. You see, all the parties in the past you've been to, they'll be just memories. In fact, distant memories. In fact, they won't even come into your remembrance in the distant future. What will matter is where you're spending eternity. And that's why the Bible says it's better to go to a funeral than a party. Ecclesiastes 7:2-4 says this: it's better to spend your time at funerals than at parties, for you are going to die, and you should think about it while there is still time. Sorrow is better than laughter, for sadness has a refining influence on us. A wise person thinks much about death, while the fool thinks only about having a good time now. Do you catch that, folks? A wise person thinks much about death. They think about eternity. Those who invest, those who are profitable in this world, they spend time looking at what the future holds to a degree so they can make wise investments. But there's no wiser investment that you'll ever make than where you'll spend eternity. Like I said, folks, is there any more important question than where you'll spend eternity? Heaven or hell? Forever and ever? No, absolutely not. In fact, Ecclesiastes 7:2 says this: death is the destiny of every man, and the living should take this to heart. God tells you to take this into account. He tells you to take this to heart. He goes on to say in that same book, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come. Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. Everything you've done will be brought before God. He already knows it, but it'll be brought out on the day of judgment. In fact, Vegas says, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. God's word says, nah, what happens in Vegas can be shouted on the rooftops, Jesus said. Now, in light of all this, folks, the wise person, as the Bible says, thinks about death. In fact, it says he spends time thinking about death and where he's going to spend eternity. Why? Because he wants to make sure his life is right with God. Psalm chapter 90, verses 11 through 13 says this: who knows the power of your anger? For your wrath is as great as the fear that is due you. Teach us. Now, check this out. The psalmist is telling God to teach us something. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, O Lord. How long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. What is the psalmist saying that he wants to be taught? To teach us to number our days aright, that we get a perspective on reality, that we won't be here very long, that we may not wake up tomorrow morning, so that our hearts are right with the Lord, so that we humble ourselves and say, God, you are God, I am not. I am a creature. I'm a sinful creature. I'm going to die. My body's going to go back to the dust, and my spirit is either going to go to hell or be with you. So God, have mercy on me. Forgive me of my sins. I submit myself to you as my Lord, Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. Folks, that's where God wants us to be. In fact, the psalmist said this. He said more than just teaching us to number our days aright, but he asked the Lord to show him his end. In fact, we read this in Psalm chapter 39, verses 4 through 7. Quote, show me, O Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting my life is. You have made my mere days a handbreadth. In fact, folks, look at your hand. That's the length of your life. It's very short compared to eternity. The span of my years is as nothing before you. In fact, folks, it's less than a hand's breadth. It's as nothing before God. Each man's life but a breath, the word of God goes on to say. Man is a mere phantom as he goes to and fro. He bustles about, but only in vain. He heaps up wealth, not knowing who will get it. But now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you. So folks, what is the psalmist saying? He's saying, show me, O Lord, my end, my life's end and the number of my days, so I can put my hope in you. So I won't get my hope fixated in this world on temporal things that are passing away and the lust thereof, but on you, the eternal one, so my life can be hidden in Christ, who is eternal, so I can be part of the body of Christ, so I can be a member of his body, an eternal entity, because I'm connected to the immortal one, he alone who has immortality, the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and thus I can have life in him. Folks, we've been talking about how Paul Walker, the famous actor, said, I'll be back in 5 minutes, but within just a few minutes, his life literally went up in smoke. The Bible says our lives are like a puff of smoke. Our lives are like mere vapors. Thankfully, Paul Walker claimed that he'd become a Christian not long before he died. In fact, he said, I'm a Christian now. He said, the people I don't understand are atheists. I go surfing and snowboarding, and I'm always around nature. I look at everything and think, who couldn't believe there's a God? Is all this a mistake? It just blows me away. End quote. Folks, I hope he was sincere. I don't know where he was at in his last moments. I don't know if he truly committed himself to Christ or not. I sure hope he did. I hope to see him in heaven. But I do know this. Amos chapter 4, verse 12, God's word says, prepare to meet your God. Have you prepared to meet your God? The way you prepare to meet your God is to acknowledge that you're a sinner, to acknowledge that we deserve God's judgment, to acknowledge that God is a just and righteous God and he must punish sin and evil, but to acknowledge that he's also God of love and that God so loved the world, said Jesus, that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus went on to say that God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him may be saved. Folks, Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. It says he tasted death for everyone in the Bible. The Bible says he even died for the false prophets who are going to hell in 2 Peter chapter 2. In fact, if he died for false prophets, you're going to hell. He tasted death for everyone. He's the propitiation, the scriptures say, not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. You too can be saved. Right now, all you need to do is turn from your sin, repent. Jesus said, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. You want to be prepared to meet your God? Repent, turn from sin, and embrace Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Put your trust in him. The Bible says we're saved by grace through faith, that not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should brag about it or boast. Jesus died for your sins. He paid for them. You can be right with God by turning to Jesus Christ and putting your faith in him, and you'll pass out of death into eternal life and be prepared to meet your God. Well, folks, that brings us to the conclusion of our program here at the Good Fight Radio Show. I want to thank you for being with us today. I want to encourage you to press on and know the Lord and to make him known. May the Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you and give you peace.
You've been listening to pastor and author Joe Schimmel on the Good Fight Radio Show. To learn more about Good Fight Ministries, please visit goodfightradio.org, where we feature many eye-popping and life-changing resources on DVD and CD, as well as an archive of previously aired shows. You can visit our podcast page at goodfightradio.org to find many of Pastor Joe's full Sunday morning teachings. If you've been blessed by this show and would like to share this blessing with others, you can help support our ministry by visiting our donate page also at goodfightradio.org. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062. Or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We thank you for tuning in. Join us next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.
Let's not forget that the arts are a compelling solution to teen violence. They're certainly not the cause of it.
Our schools are turning into killing fields.
Is it true that Satan is working behind the scenes in pop culture and music, influencing our families?
Why is this happening?
They're certainly not the cause of it. Not the cause of it.
They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll reveals rare footage that MTV and VH1 would dare not show you.
This is something that the Church of Satan is conducting on many different avenues. We're doing this through the use of what we have called aesthetic terrorism. This involves the creative use of art, music.
This unbelievable rockumentary will have you picking your jaw up off the floor.
Anton LaVey, the founder of the Church of Satan, declared, "Today's satanic bands are the vehicle of choice for millions of young people. If they encourage a study of real Satanism, I'm all for them. Music can inspire people to murder or violence, can inspire them to shoot a mall full of people."
They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll is one of many resources offered by Pastor Joe Schimmel and Good Fight Ministries, used to equip parents, educators, pastors, and various ministry leaders around the world with vital information needed to safeguard youth and adults alike from the overwhelming draw of society's destructive influences.
Just keep this in mind. They're playing our CDs when you're not home, in your own car, and I'm influencing your children.
Pick up your copy of They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll today by visiting www.goodfight.org.
I'm glad you're influenced by us. See any drugs? Go home and smoke something.
They sold their souls for rock and roll as the presentation you can't afford to miss.
Listen, if you're ever going to commit a crime, you should do it now because you're still a minor.
And I'm influencing your children.